Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And as always, the crowd goes wild with delirium. At the mention of my name, you are listening to The Mark Unger Show, a show that is all about
marriage.
You see,
marriage is what brings us together today.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
Let me tell you why I suck.
Yeah.
Is that what the whole show is about today? Please, one day, can we do that? Just the whole show talking about that?
It wouldn't last long. It'd be about 2 minutes.
Show. No, it wouldn't. It would be a whole week's worth of show.
Boy, yes. You are just cruel.
Yes.
He's a great
Joining
man.
Me, as always, is the loving and charming Diane Brierley.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And, of course, the unflappable man among men. The man who stands tall among other men, helping men to be men, even though he is himself a girly man. Ross Allen Skorzewski.
That is I.
And he's shorter than me.
Pushing all the knobs, twisting all the buttons, and making us sound semi-intelligent, of course, is Timothy Ray, engineering today's program. Glad that you have joined with us. This is the program that answers questions concerning love and marriage. If you have a dating dilemma, a relational struggle, a marriage confusing situation, or frustration, you can send it to us at radio@markunger.com, and we will do our best to delve into and give you at least our opinion. It helps to get sometimes just another opinion about things. And of course, it is just our opinion. The show is pretty much just about what I think, although the other two get to weigh in as well. But we're just sharing you with what we think. It's another way of getting some feedback and stuff. You can do it anonymously. In exchange for your anonymity, we are brutal. Very straightforward in our
Honest.
Answers. We would never, people, we would never, ever be this brutal if you were actually here with us talking to us. We'd be much nicer and much more couched and stuff. And we used to take phone calls in the early days, but it was just awkward. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't as much fun because you got to be so much nicer to people.
Well, and they went on and on and on, and people sometimes have a hard
forever
time
to get
explaining.
To the point, yeah. And, you know, also half the show would be just trying to get an answer out of somebody.
Yeah.
Which, when you're going through relational things, it's hard to think. Mm-hmm. It messes with your head. Mm-hmm. So it just makes it easier. Having the emails gets right to the point, and then we just come right back with what we think. Anyway, Lady Brierley.
Here we have an article from CNN. It's from that fellow Ian Kerner, the one who usually writes horse poopy. That we don't really like too much of what he writes. But
Who's
this
again?
Ian Kerner.
He's a horse poop specialist?
Well, he's a sexuality counselor and New York Times bestselling author who blogs on different things. This one happened to be on CNN. He's on Fox sometimes, Fox News.
Yeah,
and
crap.
Yeah. Usually a lot of his stuff is just crap. Okay. But this actually happened to be pretty good. It's for those of you who have small children, are pregnant, just like you, Ross, but past being pregnant pretty soon and dealing with sex.
Ross is pregnant?
No, his wife is. Oh. Sex and the baby years and how to deal with the change that that brings to your sexual relationship.
You're supposed to have sex in the baby years?
Oh, man. He's been missing out.
Yeah. You set this up nicely because he starts out by saying, it seems like a foregone conclusion and a sad one at that, that when you have a baby, sex goes from being something that used to be spontaneous to something that goes on the to-do list. And as sex falls to the bottom of that list, relationships become increasingly vulnerable to anger, resentment, indifference, and yes, infidelity. No wonder a recent study from the University of Denver reports that 90% of new parents experience a significant decline in relationship satisfaction. That was the one that they surveyed people, but during the first year after a child is born. And they didn't follow. Remember that one we talked about that?
Yes, I just still think it's bizarre.
I never pay attention during the show.
I know you don't. And he refers to another online survey that just 24% of parents said that they're satisfied with their post-baby sex lives, compared to 66% who were happy before they had children. So he's making the case here that people are unhappy with their sex lives after children come. And then he wants to give advice on how it, Ross, are you listening? Because the baby's coming.
This is an article about me, I guarantee you that. By God, I'll tell you what.
Your father-in-law is sitting here. Do you really want to have
serious?
This conversation?
I have to listen to his rants about
right.
things. And I'm not going there. I respect the boundary.
Who's that guy that you're just imitating?
Roy D. Mercer.
Who's that?
By God, I'll tell you what. If there ain't no sex in my home, I'll be over there in New York Minute. I'll be popping some knots on her forehead.
Who's that?
Oh, he's hilarious.
Roy D. Mercer.
He's like this. He's like a redneck. He does this. This shtick.
He calls people randomly.
He calls people up randomly, and he gives them all kinds of grief. You know.
No, I don't think
he's
I've
set
never
up. Like if you wanted to pull a prank on me, you would send in your idea to him, and he would call me up with all this pertinent information, talking about how I apparently robbed your kid of his stereo cassette player.
So he calls these people up. And he gives him a hard time. And then he threatens to come over and beat him up.
Yep. Is he on the radio? Like radio show?
Oh, he's in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
He
does a scream.
Nope, never heard
so
of him.
So you'll hear this guy. Of course, everybody's knowing. The guy doesn't know.
Yeah.
This guy. Just, what's your name? I'm Roy D. Mercer.
How big a boy are you?
How big a boy are you? I can come down there and just beat you up right now.
260? Well, I ain't nothing.
And I mean, there he's threatening. He's, are you threatening me? Well, how big a boy are you? You know?
Oh, my God.
I'll be over there in a New York Minute.
I mean,
my God.
It is hilarious.
You'll have to find one on YouTube or something.
Oh, there. You can get them all over the place.
Because I have not heard it.
We might have to get some sound bites.
We need some Roy D. Mercer. When he gets mad, you know.
I'm on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna open up a big old can of whoop ass on
you.
Yeah,
he does.
So he does. Of course, he's insulting these people, looking for a fight. But he does it brilliantly.
He does.
It's hilarious. Not too funny to the guy who's getting mad.
The poor unsuspecting soul.
When they figure out who it is. You know?
Yeah, he goes, "Do you know so and so?" And they're so mad, they're like, "What'd you say?" And instantly, he starts laughing with his redneck cackle, and they just find themselves. What just happened?
Yeah, then they realize they got punked by their own
big
friends.
Time.
You know, but,
big time.
He is a funny, sick man.
Okay, you'll have to find it for me. So while
he'd be right at home here on the Mark Gunner Show.
We
need to get Roy D. Mercer on his show.
He should be calling up some of these men.
Yeah. We should.
We should get Roy
sick
to call up some of these guys playing video games till 3 in the morning.
Yeah. That's right.
How big a boy are you? I can come over there right now. Where you live at? Where you at right now?
I'll be over there in the New York.
I'll come over and...
That would be good.
Oh, funny. Okay.
So while Ross, this does not apparently pertain to you, there may be other men out there, so we shall proceed.
All right.
His number one advice to dads is don't give up on sex. With the fight for sex, new dads actually perform a vital relationship function, which is to bring their partner back into the relationship and restore the primacy of their couplehood. So don't just roll over and play dead. If she doesn't want to have sex and all of these changes are happening, to hang in there. He talks about the importance of marriage and that he gives the example that not too long ago I was on a plane with my kids, so I thought I better take some time to really listen to the pre-flight instructions about safety exits and flotation cushions that I normally ignore. I was profoundly struck by a simple instruction. In the event an oxygen mask drops down, put it on yourself first and then your children. They instruct you to do this because you have to take care of yourself in order to take care of your kids. Well, in our marriages, we're constantly putting our children first to the point where we allow our relationships to suffocate and ultimately impair our ability to parent well. So
that's
he's saying, I thought that was good too.
for a guy who's pretty much a moron most of the time. All right.
And so then there are five different things that he goes into that you
I'm sure he listens to this show.
I'm right. sure he does.
Yeah, sure, yeah. He's upset right now, yeah.
How to keep sex alive throughout the baby years. First, to get out and enjoy a regular date night as soon as possible. Many couples who have toddlers that are walking and talking and even reading, and the parents still haven't gone out together for an evening on their own.
So, a lot of women are like this.
That is very hard.
They're just crazy. The kid drives them crazy, but they can't get away from him for five seconds.
Yeah, they won't leave him. I found out someone that we knew did not depart once. For like the first 2 years of their child's birth, they would not go away for a date. They would not let the grandparents have the child overnight. I'm serious, like two.
Oh yeah, what?
And what state was their marriage in? The toilet.
I think from the outside, people would say it would be good, but looking on the inside.
So get out and do date nights.
I talk about this all the time in my seminars.
You do.
Look, you get to great sex on purpose. Mm-hmm. Don't just. And here again, our culture has taught people falsely that one of two things must exist before sex, either a great physical desire or some great emotional connection. It's great when those things are there, but quite frankly, most of the time people, sex is just sex. There's not this huge just do it on purpose. And this, again, what we talk about. People have no connection between what they do in life and what they get. And they think, see, what happens is in the early stages of marriage, these things are automatic. But that's where people need marriage advice before going in.
Right.
You're going to hit this auto zone for a while. But then it stops.
Yep.
Then the difference between people who have great marriages and people who have lousy marriages is that the people with great marriages understand we have to keep doing this stuff on purpose.
Intentional.
The people with lousy marriages, when the auto stuff stops, they go, oh, there's something wrong with my marriage. I don't need to have an affair. I need to do something else to spice things up because they don't get it. Anyway.
People get really mad when you say that sex is just sex. That it doesn't have to be this great desire.
They do?
Yes, I've heard people. Absolutely.
Emails
sometimes
and people
sex
who are,
is just sex.
They think that's
dumbing
crap.
It down to just some recreational activity.
That it shouldn't just be about that. That it has to have this
wrong.
And it has to have that.
No. Sometimes sex is just sex.
It is.
Quite frankly, a lot of the time, it's just sex. It's just connecting with one another.
But that's what the culture has taught them, you know, that it has
I've never heard anybody tell me they were mad at that.
You know, people, especially on the blog sites when we have the articles, you know, on the website,
really?
A lot of the people that they get really PO'd
about
that.
Good grief, you people, get a life. I'm so glad I'm not married to some of these people. Holy cow.
Where's the swirly button?
See, because that's what I'm saying. It has to be this magical event.
Think that.
That's why they hardly ever do it.
And they think you're wrong and evil for saying that it sometimes just
says. I can stick it.
Okay.
What do I care?
Are you looking for a button?
I was trying to find something insulting, but I couldn't.
The second piece of advice he has is.
I'm still looking. No, go ahead.
Rechannel non-sexual intimacy outside the bedroom into your relationship with your spouse. Children are intimacy sponges, but you have to save some for your partners. For example, studies show that a 30-second hug raises oxytocin levels in both men and women. Oxytocin is known as the cuddle hormone and facilitates a sense of trust. So get thee to a huggery, he says.
I need a hug.
Get thee to a huggery. I couldn't find anything insulting enough for the last thing.
Okay.
So
the third bit of information,
Get thee to a huggery.
Yes. Don't let your child sleep in your bed. Not only does it make it difficult logistically to have sex, it's an intrusion.
I got a logistical problem. Call UPS. It's all about logistics.
It's an intrusion into the much-needed intimacy and separation from their kids that parents need.
I'm still in the bed. I'm still stunned that you're telling me people get mad at this.
Yes. Yes.
Because to them, it has to be this
over-romanticized
thing.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's, you know, just some.
That's why their sex lives are awful.
Yeah, they do. How often
does that happen where heaven comes down and kisses the earth and you're right in the middle of the smack?
Every time.
See, because they think they shouldn't have to unless they feel one of those things. And they're insulted by the fact that you're telling them, no, you have sex
regardless.
You tell
me I'm just a piece of meat?
That's what they end up feeling, especially.
It's intentional connection.
Right.
Correct.
It's intentional connection. You need to intentionally connect with your spouse. It doesn't happen automatically.
And the thing of it is, even if you don't feel, like you say this, you don't feel this great desire, you don't feel this emotional connection, you go ahead and do it anyway and just have sex as sex, you feel a little bit of that by the end, I promise you.
I think they just get offended by the first part of what he's saying and don't really see it all the way through.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, people.
Are you nuts?
Yes.
Oh, their lives stink.
Okay.
I'm just glad I didn't marry one.
That's right.
Thank God.
That's right.
All right, keep going.
Okay, don't let him sleep in your bed. And then number four says, ladies, make an effort to rediscover your sense of sexual self-esteem. I know it's hard to feel like your sexiest self when you're a mom, but let the guy in your life know what he can do to support you.
So, well, see, this will be a real problem for people who think things have to be magical, because right. it doesn't feel very magical after that.
Nope, right. It doesn't.
You don't look the same. Things are a mess.
And here
things
you go.
Crazy.
This is just what you're saying. Number five, have sex. Seems obvious, but sometimes you just have to put yourself through the motions and let your mind follow your body. Many new moms say they want sex, but they don't. So try it. You'll like it. Sex begets sex. And if you don't use it, you could lose it.
See? They That's want to want it.
Yes.
Yes.
They want, what they're trying to say is they want to feel that feeling they felt before.
Absolutely.
And you might not.
My argument is you don't always feel that.
Nope. Yeah.
You don't.
I want to want it. Well, yeah.
I want things to be the way they were before we had kids.
Mm-hmm. People.
I liked his summary paragraph.
Good heavens.
There.
Good heavens.
Stupid is as stupid does, sir.
He says, in the end, all parents want their child to be happy. That's why we do our best to give them everything, from setting up college funds to giving up our careers to stay at home with them. But ultimately, a happy child is part of a happy family. And at the heart of that happy family are two parents who are connected, loving, and intimate. Becoming a parent doesn't mean becoming selfless. It means becoming selfish about the things that really matter, like your sex life.
Yeah. And seeing Christians, of course, they over-spiritualize things, you know. Ooh. You know, like some preachers get into this whole thing. It's actually rather depressing. I mean, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to elevate sex to some holy place, but they overdo it. You know, I was reading something about, you know, sex is like taking communion, you know, or a worship of God. Talk about complicating things even more.
Oh,
not only do I not feel like it, not only do I not have a bigger emotional connection, now I have to have this spiritual, you know, fourth dimensional experience. Now, oh, good grief.
Have you ever had someone explain to you, because I'm trying to figure out where my brain is for this, that sex is, you know, that when a husband and wife come together, that's like a slice of heaven. You know, it's just like being able to experience a taste of what heaven's going to be like.
That.
Have you heard that?
I have heard that.
That kind of messes it up for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because Jesus said, you know what we won't do in heaven?
We won't be married.
We won't be
having, we won't have, have sex.
Mm-hmm. Right. So thanks a lot. What a buzzkill.
Well, where do they, no, see, I'm just, where I'm do just they make this up from?
They make these because they want to over-spiritualize marriage and sex. And pastors, I talk about this in my book, you know. Pastor, oh, sex is holy. It's a holy thing.
And that's the comments you get on the blog post when you start saying sex is sex.
It's really holy. Oh, for crying out loud.
Who was it? You? Somebody told
God is holy. Jesus is holy. The Spirit is holy, hence the name Holy Spirit. But my wiener has never been and never will be holy.
Well, sometimes sex can be holy cow.
Yeah, but that's not what they're talking about.
Holy wow. Holy wow. Holy cow. Holy moly. But that's not what they're talking
holy.
About.
Holy. You know what the word holy means, people? Your wiener's not holy.
That's right.
What about the wiener?
It's not holy.
Oh, my God.
Good grief.
But that would be over-spiritualization.
Sex is already bad enough as it is, so they got to add a fourth dimension. That's got to be spiritual.
She's waving her
is
pen
Is this you
at
that
you.
Said this? I heard this. This is the creepiest thing I've ever heard. This-
Then yes, it would be.
That probably would have been me then.
I think that it might have been you. I can't remember that somebody said that you're supposed to imagine like Jesus sitting in the chair next to the bed watching you while you're having sex. Who told me that?
I would have never told you anything like
no,
that.
No, not you said that, but you had heard, not you're not advising that.
Good Lord.
But that you had heard that someplace.
That would be why we aren't having kids in our home, because I'm too afraid to have
you
sex.
Know, invite
my wife.
Jesus
where God's
in,
everywhere, and God loves your sex life
and
all that. But that's kind of a weird thing.
That wasn't you then. I heard it from somewhere.
Make things even more complicated.
I can't get aroused right now, honey. Jesus is watching.
Oh,
I think that would
man.
Be a little creepy.
Oh, seriously. We need to take a break. I'm creeped out already.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with more disgusting and uncomfortable subjects right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country.
This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
That's your dollar spent impressing you. Got a haircut and a pair of shoes worth it all. Just to get a smile from you and a kiss or two. If the feeling's right and you're feeling like, baby, we just might have the makings of a real good thing. Just a touch of you.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, where we're discussing all your marital relational questions and whatnot. Mrs. Bartley.
Someone's taking you to task. Are you up for this?
All right.
Bring it on.
Mr. Gunger, I have been listening to you for about a year now. I have The Tale of Two Brains on my computer. It must just be clips of it, I would imagine. Have listened to you on the Stinking Thinking program and have listened to you on your daily show. Mm-hmm. I am a Christian and know Jesus as my Savior. Mm-hmm. Something has troubled me on something you said a while back when you were advising a lady that asked you a question about dating.
Something I would say would trouble someone.
Yeah.
That's hard to even imagine that I would trouble anyone.
It's just unbelievable.
Inconceivable!
She had said that she was not interested in dating, but her friends were trying to set her up with someone. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
You said that she should at least you remember something. Mark that down. Ross, write the date down.
Hey.
You said that she should at least go out with a guy and that she would get at least get a free meal. Now, to a guy that is truly seeking a wife to go out on dates, most of the time takes money. Not all of us make loads of money as you yourself and can afford to go out on a lot of dates.
Owie. As you yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess compared to him, I probably do make a lot of money.
How is it that it is always up to the guy to pick up the tab? Where did this practice come from? I think it's selfish to advise some women to just go out with a guy so she can get a free meal. I don't know about how the ratio of women to men is in Wisconsin, but where I live, there are slim pickings on Christian women who I would feel would be wife material.
Well, come to Wisconsin.
Right.
True.
Toronto, Canada, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
That city is crawling.
Smoking?
With drop-dead, smoking Ho Chi Mama women.
Really?
Like no other city I've ever seen. It was truly stunning.
Wow.
Actually, good-looking guys, too. I mean,
good-looking people.
I mean, there's good-looking people. And then the church that we were at, it was filled with these things. Of course, in churches, the ratio of women to men is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Women.
Right.
I mean, this place, gorgeous. Suck the air out of the room. Woman after woman after woman after woman, really? All in their 20s. Oh, my gosh. I'd never seen anything like it. So if you're having a hard time, go up to Toronto.
Go to Toronto.
Give us a call.
You don't
give
like
me a name of the
Toronto.
Church.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Man. The problem up there is you'd have a hard time making up your mind.
Too many to choose from.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Canadians. Holy cow. Anyway, go ahead.
He says, many women that I meet are looking for one thing and one thing only, money. Please, from now on, take into consideration the guys that have good hearts but do not have lots of money nor live in big houses. Some of us have been in what we thought were real good relationships, but then the woman up and leaves and then gets the guy for child support. Why should a guy be looking for a woman when there is a good chance she will only get him later on for child support and take everything from him? It leaves a guy to wonder if there really are any good women out there.
Wow.
He sounds very spurned.
Let me tell you my problem. My problem is women looking for all my money. Of course, I don't have any money, so it's hard to find any women. And all these women just run around. They all want my money, all my big money. That's why Mark Unger has so many women chasing him. All
he's
his
money.
He might look like the human burrito, but he got money.
Just making fun of this. It's, what is his beef?
Now, here's the thing. First of all, my dear friend, thanks for listening to the show. One thing you have to understand, you'd think you would have figured this out after listening to me for a year, is I tend to be a hyperbolist.
Mm-hmm.
That means I use exaggerations to make points.
Mm-hmm.
If you take everything I say literally, you will go insane. You will lose your mind, like this guy. His problem was he listened to the Mark Unger Show and took everything literally, and he lost his mind.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
No.
So, but
definitely
most people get it. I make exaggerations right. to make points. My point with this girl was, get out.
Mm-hmm.
Experience life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the worst that can happen? You might find someone who you do have a connection
mm-hmm.
with. Okay. Worst case scenario, you get a free meal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't telling women to just go date to get food.
Well, it's weird because it's the second guy who wrote in saying that you're advising women to go after men for money. And
no,
you're not
no,
saying
I'm not.
That.
No.
You're creating a culture of gold diggers.
Don't for heaven. Just for because of the meal? How cheap are you anyway?
Well,
good
he wanted
grief.
To know, why is it the guy always has to pick up the tab? Where did this practice come from? That's like,
I don't know,
chivalrous,
tradition.
Isn't it?
Yes, the guy doing stuff for the girl, opening. Why does a man have to open the door for the woman?
Yeah.
Why does it? You know, I don't know. It's just called being nice. It's called being polite. Good grief. If you're that tight. Man, and the whole money thing, really what is attractive to a woman is security.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she wants to feel safe. If she's around a guy who, you know, I don't know what your situation is. If you have no money and you don't have any kind of a job and you can't hang on to anything, and what does that say to a woman? A woman many women want to be
security.
Taken care of at some degree.
She'll don't want money. I mean, I don't know people who go after money, but I want the security.
Some kind of security. But if you got a guy who has no money.
Right. No,
and doesn't make you feel safe or
what,
and whines about having to pick up the meal.
Right.
Good grief, dude. Maybe you need to be a little bit more generous
yes.
with your money. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't
about.
Know. If I went on the date with the dude and he complained about having to pick up the bill, it'd be the last date that I went on with him, I'll tell you that.
Well said.
All right, dude, lighten up. We'll be back with more right after this.
1 hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Unger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us, and we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of French fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy. You've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
Where are you going? Where do you go? Are you looking for answers to questions under the stars? Well, if along the way you are growing weary, you can rest with me until a brighter day and you're okay. I am no Superman. I have no answers.
Sounds like our last guy.
Yeah, but listen, it's coming up. It's great. It's all the guy needs to say.
Is that Dave Matthews?
Yes, it is.
Love him.
But in the context of the last email, there's a guy groaning about having to pay for women. I mean, who gets that psycho about money?
Yeah.
Apparently he...
Because as much money as... You don't know how much money I got, you little twit. How do you know? But
why does it even... why does it matter?
He's a twit. What kind of statement
like
is that?
He must have been divorced and someone took him to
the
cleaners.
I don't know. First of all,
that's what it
not everybody has
like.
Money as much as you do. How much money do you think I got anyway? Doesn't matter, for heaven's sakes. Just be generous. Be kind. Quit being so weird about it. And here's the guy. He's the one who's single.
Or enjoy being miserable.
Anyway,
probably won't find someone to join you in that.
I just think he's stressing out too much about money. And if that's your attitude, dude, you're not going to attract any woman.
No.
If you're cheap, who wants to be around you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm not even worth supper to you, what the heck?
And if you're that poor, where you can't afford to take someone out at all,
cook for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
let him over.
But do something. But it doesn't sound like he wants to really give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If you're going into a relationship with a calculator,
ooh, bad.
To see who's going to do what and when is up, man, stay single.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do the women of a world a favor. Just stay single. Mrs. Barley.
You've heard of the 7-year itch, right?
I have.
They actually.
They got a cream for that now.
No, that's something different. That's something different. The 7-year itch, you know, when you. You're bored with your marriage, you have an affair, you want out. That's the itch I'm speaking of.
I just like Ross for his laugh.
What?
I just like Ross for his laugh. He keeps me entertained.
By the way, that's only why I'm here, folks.
He's here for the laugh track.
It's just for laughter.
Anyhow. A survey.
I want to just, because when you said that, I thought of one thing. When you said the 7-year itch.
Just wait, is it appropriate?
Well, it is a product that has a 7 after it, and it starts with an M.
Oh, jeez, Ross! I thought of the movie though, 7-year itch.
And then he's
that
laughing.
Marilyn
I'm laughing. It had, you know, we
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Monistat 7. It's for feminine itching.
Oh,
he's taking it down a really bad path. Just sit there and be quiet, Ross.
I couldn't help it. I got caught up in the laughter.
Isn't there a 7-year itch? Isn't that a Marilyn Monroe movie? The 7-year itch.
Actually, there is.
Sorry, see,
is that the one that she was walking along and
the thing blew up when she was doing the publicity shots for that? Yeah, it was for that, right?
Now they're going to think I'm vulgar.
No, they're going to know you are.
Maybe because you are vulgar.
Maybe they'll just know what all of us know. Anyhow.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yes,
I should.
You ought to.
I'm sorry.
A survey out of the UK says that it's not really the seven-year itch. It's more like 11.
Uh-huh.
Married couples begin to get bored after 10 years and 11 months. Surveys find.
10 years and 11 months.
So exactly.
Oh,
this is like the email that we had the other day, though, where the guy had an affair. Was it a year and a half into the marriage?
He didn't make it to the 10 years, right. 11 months.
How do you come up with 10 years and 11 months?
Wow.
They surveyed people. 3,000 married people found, they surveyed them and found that when couples begin to feel bored with each other, that it's around the 10 years, 11 months is what it says. 6 in 10 people surveyed said they...
Still. I mean, it's pretty microed there.
Yeah.
How do they come up with that? When did you start getting... You know, I was good with my marriage until... 10 years, 6.5 months.
They probably gave them, no. They probably gave them like 10 years, 10 and a half years. And when you average it, it comes out.
All right.
It just seems goofy. They should have rounded it. That would have been much better. 6 in 10 people, so that's 6 in 10 people, that's a lot of people, surveyed said they often need to be reminded why they even got married in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
12% said they couldn't remember the last time their partner paid them a compliment, and a fifth said they no longer get excited at the idea of making love to their partners. Perhaps most depressing of it all, like that wasn't depressing enough, the research conducted...
Let's depress you some more!
They conducted it by a dating website, also found that a quarter of respondents said they no longer bother going out together or making romantic gestures. A quarter of them.
They don't even bother.
They don't bother.
And these are people... See, again... Yep. They have no connection between what they do and what they get.
Nope.
All they know is they don't have what they want, but they want to do anything about it.
Nope.
It's like people who want money, but they don't want to get a job.
Yep.
It's like you don't even bother.
Just give it to me.
You
people
don't
like who
bother.
Want a garden, but they want to take the time to plant anything or weed the thing.
Wow. It's sad.
You can't get stuff without giving stuff, people. There's no such thing as a marriage that happens automatically. I will say this, by the way, for all of you single people, we're not just talking teenagers here, we're talking some of you in 30 and 40 still single out there screwing men.
And do that and say, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, why should I say no? You know, you can't help but fight the urge to merge, you know. Why should you do it?
Because temptation never goes away.
That's right. You need to keep saying this.
If you don't learn to say no now, you single people.
Right.
What makes you think you're going to say no when the 7-year itch or the 11-year itch or the 10-year and 11-month itch hits you?
They've lost the idea of what perseverance means. I mean, if I resist once or twice and it doesn't work, well, then how can it work long term?
There's a lot of people that think, well, once I get married, I'll never have this problem anymore.
Right.
Nope.
You've got to learn to stand up for what you believe and who you are in the first place. Because these things always come out back at you.
There'll always be somebody who catches your eye. There'll always be a situation that you want to walk into. You have to learn to say no.
So you'll be happily married, and then I'll walk into the room.
And you will be so enamored. And think, that is one fabulous burrito-looking man right there. I'm in love with that man. And then you'll be in all kinds of trouble.
You've got to learn to say no now so you can say no later.
Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
It really is that simple. At some point. And some of you who've been in a cycle of this, well, I've messed. Okay, it's still, at some point, you got to stop. You have to stop and start saying no. Mm-hmm.
But I can't.
Yes, you can.
Yes, they can, but that's what they say.
Yes, okay. But I can't.
I can't.
I can't stop means they don't want to stop to them. I get you want to do all kinds of things. I mean, I really understand that, but you don't. It's wanting and needing and having and it's not the same thing.
I can't quit touching myself. I can't.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
I mean, I just can't stop. You know, it's out of control. You know?
Look, at some point,
yes,
you got to realize you're not an animal.
Right.
You can control yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn to control yourself as a young person going into this, all you younger people listening to me, because they want to know, why should I? What difference does it make? You know, why say no? Because you got to start learning to say no. Mm-hmm. You start out learning to say no and do it right in the first place. Mm-hmm. Then you can start doing life right.
That's right.
And if you didn't, at some point you still have to.
Yeah.
Get a hold of yourself and start doing life right. Anyway, there you go.
Okay. This one's not going to make you very happy, but we'll proceed anyway.
Proceed with caution.
Do you know how many times she says that?
She says it a lot.
I think she just wants to torment me.
And I don't think she cares because she just keeps doing it.
I don't.
And you notice when I say it, I'm usually smiling.
You are smiling.
Okay, listen carefully. There's some details here you want to catch, sir. My husband and I have been married for 27 very challenging years with a lot of conflict and ups and downs. We are now empty nesters with two grown children. We are involved in a church and a small group, but don't have many friends. We are both Christians, but in all honesty, we haven't done a very good job of living out our faith, as will be demonstrated momentarily.
Oh, no.
Now for the situation. My husband is as unromantic as a rock. He isn't into physical affection. I have to fight him for every hug or kiss I get. We have sex maybe once every couple of months, and it is initiated by me, and he is a very reluctant participant. I don't get compliments, and he is very introverted and never wants to go out or do anything fun. I am so bored. He has always been this way, but it is getting worse as he gets older, and when I was busy raising my kids, I didn't have time for sex or romance or excitement anyway. My needs are different now. I've talked to him about this.
All right. See, just right there.
Right there.
You set the pattern. Mm-hmm. That's why we tell you, you need to do sex mm-hmm. on purpose.
Mm-hmm. So she broke the
law. How many times have I talked about this? Right. Women do this all yes. the time. They get all caught up with their kids and stuff like that, and they starve out their husband sexually, or he loses interest because you're kind of not into it anyway. Mm-hmm. What women don't understand is a lot of guys, they will start to shut down sexually. Mm-hmm. They'll just start you don't use it, you lose it.
She's not going to want
to
hear this.
So now, later, and it's what happens. These women come roaring back. Why do you think all the jokes on TV, mm-hmm. people, are about the young sexually frustrated man, but the older sexually frustrated women? All you girls who don't, I don't want to mess with sex. It's just a hassle. I'm tired. This will come back and mm-hmm. bite your tush. Then you're going to go through this hell. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to have a man who's not passionate about you, and he's disconnected from you, and then your heart will be broken. Why doesn't he want to make love to me? Because you taught him.
But she did say that he's always been this way. So if he's
always been this way, all I know is that was a big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
When she said, well, during the kids, you know, he doesn't, yes, and I didn't really care anyway, didn't pay attention anyway. That was you've got to pay attention to this stuff, people.
Yes.
All y'all, you got to pay attention to this stuff. You get a great sex life on purpose. You get a great everything on purpose. You get a great marriage on purpose. These people say, well, you know, we work different shifts, you know, for 25 years and we've never seen each other except on Thursdays. You know, what do you think you're going to get?
Yes.
It's like people who, they never fertilize their lawn, they never weed their lawn, mm-hmm. they never cut their lawn. You drive by it, it looks like death warmed over.
And they're
mad.
And
then the people next door have beautiful lawns that are taken care of. And the person with the bad lawn goes, how come my lawn looks terrible? How come I don't have that? No, it's not fair. Mm-hmm. I should have the same thing there. How can they get it, you know? Well, they took care of their lawn. You didn't.
Right.
That's why your lawn looks like crap. But people don't get it. I'm telling you.
I know.
The biggest problem in America today, people have lost the connection between what they get, what they do, and what they get.
She has a smirk. Because you want to get to the rest.
It gets better,
okay.
My friend. Hang
better
on.
Better or
we
as
might
better
not get past this before
worse.
The end of the show. It All gets right. better.
Keep going.
Anyway, she says, I've talked to him about this, and he won't put any effort into doing anything differently. He says, this is just the way I am, and you need to accept it. He says that my boredom isn't his problem, and maybe I should find a friend or join a club. I've warned him that I could be tempted to have an affair someday for some physical
wow.
affection and excitement, and he said, you'd never do it because that isn't the kind of person you are, and you are too loyal. Well, Mark, I've gotten a friend, and I've joined the Friends with Benefits Club. I know I deserve a swirly right now. We got a new guy at work a few months ago. He and I hit it off right away. We started out flirting, and we are now having quick physical encounters in private places
so
at work.
So her husband says you won't do this because you're loyal. And
she says, screwing it work?
Well, no, just physical encounters. They're not actually having intercourse.
Well, what does that mean?
Listen, we have had one quick encounter of oral sex, but have not had the real thing yet. We have talked about it.
It is sex.
Up until about a week ago, we both wanted to.
You just got shushed, man.
I did.
You got shushed on the air. This is like my mom.
Wow.
No.
Diane, that hurts.
I love you, Ross.
He's very sensitive.
I'm a man.
He's a sensitive man.
About a week ago, this man told me that he has more guilt than he thought he would have and is having very conflicted feelings about continuing this relationship. So right now, things with this other man are up in the air. So here are her questions. One, if we didn't actually have sex, is it still considered an affair?
Sweetheart, sex. Jesus said, if you just do it in your head, it's sin. Much less grabbing a hold of his wiener and doing God knows what to it. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Just look up the medical definition of what sex is.
All right, yes, so number one.
Sex. Number two, if I'm not repentant, will God still forgive me or will I burn in hell?
You will burn in hell. That's a simple question.
She said,
if I'm not repentant.
It's pretty black and white.
If I don't turn from my sin, will I go to hell?
So she's not feeling bad about doing
it. Sort of. It's kind of the point, ain't it?
She said, I know I should feel guilt and shame, but I don't.
Well, you get a hard heart, man. You need to be concerned about that.
She seared it. Number three, if our relationship ends, how can I keep this from happening again when my husband won't put forth any effort to help meet my needs?
I don't know, sweetheart. You need to get some help. You need some serious help. You really do. I mean, here you're grabbing some guy's wanger and sticking it in your mouth at work, for heaven's sakes. Have you lost your mind?
Well, my husband is on.
Well, what? Are you crazy?
Apparently, the husband didn't know her.
Well, her final question is, does repentance mean I need to confess to my husband? I'm afraid to confess, not because of fear for me, but because I'm afraid of what he will do to the other man. This man also has a wife and three young children. The other man and I said we will never confess to anyone, no matter what.
Just
oh, yeah, she's got a moral stand with the guy she's giving blowjobs to. We made a promise. We made a promise not to tell him. So it would be immoral for me now.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not immoral to stick his wanger in my mouth. That's not immoral. I don't have a problem with that. But it would be immoral if I were now to tell anyone because we made a promise. How about the promise to your husband not to be screwing other men? But, yes, I think you should confess it to him. Absolutely.
Apparently she knows you.
But she doesn't care. What? She doesn't
care. She knows Mark's advice because she said any help or advice.
She said she knows him.
I'm no, like, any help advice you will give will be appreciated, even though I'm sure you'll be mean to me and probably give me a swirly and a goat. I know right from wrong, but I don't know why I'm choosing the wrong.
You got a heart problem, sweetheart. You got a heart problem. You know, there's silly, dumb craziness that gets swirlies and stuff. This, what you're doing, this is serious stuff. This is even, we don't even give you swirlies on this one.
She's in a really bad place.
Oh, you're very
she's
bad
jeopardizing
place.
Jeopardizing eternal standing.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's jeopardizing her marriage.
Yeah.
Jeopardizing her soul, even.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't care.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If I don't.
You know, I would be more worried about the fact that you don't care
about
what you're doing. You need to go talk to a pastor or a counselor or something.
Well, she says they're involved in church and small group.
Yeah, you're a lying piece of crap is what you are.
Playing a game.
Phony and hypocrite.
Yep.
And I'm afraid to send her to a pastor. Maybe she starts yanking on his wanger, for heaven's sake. You know how many pastors get pulled into this stuff?
Indeed.
Because needy women come in and there's, pastor, you're so, look at my boobies. Look at my boobies, pastor.
Boobies.
And then pretty soon, you know. So I'm afraid to even send her to a pastor. Where do we send her?
Yeah.
You go talk to
a
counselor.
Female counselor.
Go to a female counselor. You don't need any man in your
life. I can't believe she
would
just go to her
husband
and say this. This is what I might have to do. And he goes, I won't do it because you're not that type of person.
Well,
her
husband's being an idiot.
Right.
Look, I got problems with both people.
Absolutely.
Here. You know. Of course, the way you talked about first, not like you helped set this up by ignoring your husband sexually during the childbearing years. I don't know, you know. It's beyond the scope of this program to straighten you out, and I won't even get into it. All I know is you need help. You're in a very bad place. Well, you're to the place where you're wondering, gee, I don't know. I don't really want to stop doing it. Will I go to hell? You know,
that's
if I'm not going to go to hell, I go, gee, I don't know.
Already.
Yeah, but still, I mean, wow. Bad, bad, bad place. So anyway, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with somebody else right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better. I want to spend the rest of my life with you by my side.
You know, these make great marriage songs at the wedding, but then they lose the meaning for some people. It's just like the vows you said, you know, everything, these beautiful, over-romanticized lyrics. It's a wedding song.
I hate those songs. Quite frankly, I do, because I think that they just contribute to the unrealistic expectations and all of the crap and blather that people think that it's supposed to be about.
Yeah, but it's still the same thing. Like
nothing like crap and blather.
Well, you know,
you're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, which is full of crap and blather.
It's no different than watching these idiotic chick flick movies and all these women getting caught up. Well, that's the way it's supposed
to
be.
We'll just call it clather.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Clather. You listen to country music songs and Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, and of course you're going to get depressed because that ain't what my marriage is like. I'm telling you.
Lather yourself up with some clather.
Yes. All of that being said, they're nice wedding songs, and beyond that, they need to be put away.
No, I think there's some.
They make for very unhappy people.
I'm a
I
very
promise you, women.
Guy that's into that kind of stuff.
Hack witch.
Makes women very unhappy and discontent.
Was that
I promise
for me?
You. No, it's for me.
She's yelling.
Because I got the big mouth going.
She is.
Yeah,
she's
mad.
I'm so glad you're not allowed to have like
I'm
big objects in your hands, like
you're not allowed to
hammer,
have
hammer, knife, or something. All you have is a pen.
Oh, there's two pairs of scissors around. You better
I see
hide
that.
Them.
You're listening to Crap and Blather on the Mark Gunger Show, discussing your email dilemmas or your email dilemmas. That would be a different show. Mm-hmm. That would be a tech show. This is your marital and relational dilemmas sent via email at radio@markgunger.com. Yes, ma'am.
My husband had always masturbated since before we were married. Mm-hmm. I truly didn't have a problem with it until he replaced me.
That's what happens, dear.
That's why. That's why you should have a problem with it.
They don't do the math on this. They know about it during the dating process. Mm-hmm. When you know during the dating process you're dating a serial masturbator, mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
But why doesn't it matter then?
What do you mean?
How come it matters now? I know
well, because
been
he's
replaced
her.
But how come it didn't matter then?
They don't put it together. But again, it's really not her fault. We live in a culture that says mm-hmm. this is normal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is normal behavior. In fact, it's good for you. Yeah. Ooh, it's good for you. They don't tell you, hey, this will ruin your sex life.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard anybody
you?
In a secular media
nobody
say masturbation
that.
Will ruin your sex life?
Nobody.
You hear the exact opposite.
Anyway, I'm not sure. She doesn't give years for how long they were married, but she said, he and I reached such a crisis point that I divorced him. We have since reconciled and remarried.
Wow.
The negative behavior we were both practicing has since stopped. We recently attended a church marriage seminar that used your DVD set, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. In it, you discussed how a man can become conditioned to masturbation and not be able to perform with his wife. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's where we are. My question is how to move forward from here in a loving and faithful manner. How do we as a couple reprogram him to want me again? Thank you for your forthright and honest manner about such touchy subjects. I wanted you to know you are making a difference in our lives.
Well, thank you, dear. He just has to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
he has to stop it. If the beautiful thing about the human body is, unless something's really, really wrong, it heals. Mm-hmm. Stop yanking on yourself, dude.
Is he still, though, even after reconciliation and remarriage?
I don't know if he's still masturbating or if he's just conditioned to it and doesn't want her, or if there's still some of that going on.
I kind of got that his body's just so conditioned now that it's broken.
And he's not masturbating and he still doesn't?
That's what I got. That they're trying to be intimate, but he cannot.
I don't know.
Summit.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe he can't.
That's
anymore.
Why, you know, yeah, it depends on what kind of damage he's done.
I mean, you can reach the point of no return.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hope that's not where he's at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But one thing's for sure, he needs to stop it. He gives himself a chance for his body to heal mm-hmm. and recover. If you're saying that he tried that and now he hasn't been able to recover, then that's the line we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That has gone too far.
Which is very sad if it has gone that far. Absolutely. Or if he's just still doing it a little bit and not totally kicked at all, it's going to interfere with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, you guys listen to this, huh? You guys out there masturbating? You think there's nothing wrong with it? Oh, it's fun. It's great. No, you want this for you? You want your life like this? All you girls dating guys that are masturbating? Oh, this is no big deal. It's okay. Everybody does it. Is this what you want? Mm-mm. You know how many women tell me that their husbands are not interested in them because they'd rather masturbate? They are turning in real women. Is this what you want, girls? Oh, and you moms out there, you want to tell your boys to masturbate? Women, some of the dumbest women on earth coming up to me. Well, don't I have to teach my son to masturbate? Yeah, moms, is this what you want for your son? Huh?
Oh, I can't even imagine having that conversation with
my
boys.
Can you imagine your mom coming up to you saying, Ross, did you masturbate today?
That's just wrong.
Good grief.
Or terrible. Just like the email where the husband was, you know, teaching his son that we dealt with a few days back.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, if they are to this point of no return, what do you do? They have to navigate around it.
Go to a doctor. I don't know. Go to a doctor. I don't know. I'm assuming that he's still doing it. He just needs to stop. The good news is if you haven't gone too far, he will mm-hmm. heal. If he's gone too far and he doesn't heal. Look, I know of people who... guys who have looked at so much pornography. Mm-hmm. They've looked at so much pornography.
Guess how many boobs I saw today.
They look at it over and over and over again to where they cannot get stimulated. They cannot get an erection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They never get an erection. This is not unheard of. Mm-mm. It's one of the problems with porn is guys get to the point where they cannot ever get an erection again. That what you want, boys, huh? You want to get to the point where you can't even get it up? They can't even masturbate because they can't even get it up.
Right.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh.
Isn't that lovely? Guys, so you start out, first of all, you get more conditioned to your wiener than to a woman. So you start ignoring the woman. Then you get to the point where that doesn't even work. Then you get to the point you can't even get an erection anymore at all.
If they would have got this
right. Isn't that great? Yeah, let's all do that. Yeah, listen to all these sexperts on CNN and Fox News and all these idiots. Oh, yeah, great plan.
Yeah.
As I see, but people who that's why the people who do life right, mm-hmm. especially from a Christian worldview, they're the ones in every survey they report they have the best sex.
Because they haven't screwed it up.
And these people out there just dead. And then you've got Christian moms or telling their boys to masturbate?
Why?
Golly, you just. And some major Christians, mind. You know, they're guilty of this. James Dobson, you know, great guy. But man, to his grave, he's out there telling, you know, one of the best things my dad ever did is tell me to master it. Isn't that great, James? That's a lovely thing to be teaching young boys. God help us all. Let's get this stuff right. See y'all tomorrow!
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!